get together.
You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today, friends, on this Tuesday. God bless you. Happy Tuesday to you. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Tuesday here with me here today. We're in the book of Revelation here on WGOD. You're hearing various things. We're in the book of Revelation. We're trying to do it semi-live, though today is going to be from a sermon from last year. This is part two of a sermon that started yesterday. It's called The Evil Twins. That's my name for this, the Antichrist and False Prophet. We're up to chapter 13 in a verse-by-verse study. This will be part two, so we're going to focus today on the False Prophet. Lord Jesus gave us a lot of warnings about this guy, that beware false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. And also, he said, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Now, here in Revelation chapter 13, we're going to see that this man has the power to give pneuma. King James Version translates it life. He's got the power to give life to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast should speak and cause as many as would not worship the image to be killed. What a time to be alive on planet Earth. That's what's going to play here today. You'll hear my sermon from Sunday out of Romans chapter 5, Jesus and Adam. That'll play Wednesday and Thursday. But here today, this is part two of this message now, the evil twins. All the stargazers who deny intelligent design will bow the knee and call the man Lord. For that matter, all the stargazers who accept intelligent design but refuse God's pardon for them will also worship at the feet of the Antichrist. I mean, many believe that there's a God, but they have not been redeemed. Have you come to the Savior to be redeemed? Rest, we read in the Bible, right? In whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. There are plenty of people that believe in intelligent design, but they haven't come to the feet of Jesus Christ and said, I'm a sinner, I need help. I can't do this on my own. I need help. I need help. I need help. Yeah. How old is Caleb? Three. The Apostle Peter declared, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name given under heaven amongst men by which we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. That's good news. If you are alive at this time, you will worship. Now, King David wrote in Psalm chapter 2, verse 12, he says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish along the way. Kiss, embrace, that word means embrace the Son. Embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise him today for who he is. Praise him today for what he's done in your life. Embrace the Son. That's it. That's the call to you today. Embrace the Son. Now, lastly, in this first section is verse 9. And how apropos is this? It says, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. If you don't have an ear,
If you don't have an ear, then you'll be like this person who inscribed this note in this Bible that was found here over the weekend in this church. Okay? If you don't have an ear, this is the kind of stuff that you write in Bibles and leave here at church. Warning, this book is a work of fiction. Do not take it literally. It contains murder, rape, abuse, and is scientifically incorrect. Now, if this is your Bible, I would say come and talk to me after the service. If you've got the guts. I wonder who's going to take me up on that. Because the more people that come here and see, the more people that come into God's house, the more time you're going to see things like this written in Bibles, you see. Because not only can a politician or an outsider make things hot in the kitchen, also with a church that's doing it right, praise God, the same kind of things can happen. So, but anyway, this was a Gideon's Bible. Someone showed me this. Someone showed that to me yesterday. That's why Jesus said, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. And the message to you is still the same. The message to you, friend, is that God loves you. His son died for your sins. And if you call on the name of Jesus Christ, as he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, as Moses lifted up that serpent on that stick, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him would not perish. And if you do that, friend, then you won't be writing stuff like that in here. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And this kind of stuff shouldn't surprise you. It's par for the course. Not everyone has ears to hear this. All this and more, perhaps, in your own lifetime. All right, now let's move on to this second twin here. Again, I'm just being facetious here. These are not twins, for the record. But chapter 13 reveals to us that two men, will be the ones responsible for the events of the tribulation, at least from a worldly perspective, with the third being the silent partner, the devil himself. All right, here we go. Chapter 13, verse 11. Understand the symbol and you'll understand the book. Understand the symbol, you'll understand the book. Revelation actually is easy to understand. And that is, God wins in the end. Satan loses. All who refuse the love of the truth will be cast into the lake of fire. God's people will march on to victory. Okay, understand the symbol, you'll understand the book. Verse 11, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. Speaks for itself, right? We read in Matthew 7:15, Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Then he said, you will know them by their fruits. All right, so this man is some sort of counterfeit Christian. I'll throw it out there. Who are the references in the Bible to the Lamb? Right, it's Jesus, right? John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. The Lamb, when you see the Lamb in apocalyptic literature like this, the Lamb represents the Lamb of God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. When you see two horns the rest of this verse here, I've just lost my place here. I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. Make no mistake about this is some sort of counterfeit Christian here. And he's the Antichrist's henchman, as verse 12 is now going to tell us. Verse 12, he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he causes the earth and those that dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. All right, so look at the job of this false prophet. This guy is the spiritual leader during the tribulation, because he causes everyone to worship. He's the spiritual leader. He causes the earth and those that dwell in it to worship, and to worship the other guy, his partner here. And now, to draw you out like a speckled trout, or I had largemouth bass, but let me correct that. There's no such thing as a largemouth bass anymore. A Florida bass is the next verse, verse 13. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, that's why we did that song here this morning. Not since the days of Elijah has this happened. Has someone actually been granted the power to call fire down out of heaven? Matter of fact, I think the man is going to claim to be Elijah. I don't know how much Christianity there's going to be at this time, but this guy can point to the Old Testament and read to them the last words out of our Old Testament, where we read in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, God says, "Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." And to authenticate this, verse 13 tells us that this man calls fire down out of heaven. Verse 14. He deceives those that dwell on the earth by the signs that he was granted to do. Now, this is the worst possible thing that could ever happen. You see, when you're deceived, you don't know that you're... That's the whole idea of being deceived, is you don't realize it. At least, you know, when you sin, you realize you've sinned. If you've done something bad, we understand, we realize, we can recognize it, we can turn and repent of it. But when you're deceived, that's the whole idea of being deceived. You don't know it. So he deceives those that dwell on the earth by the signs which he was granted to do. The Apostle Paul tells us the coming of this lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all powers, signs, and lying wonders. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. That's not on there either. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. Like I've said before, with all powers, calling fire down out of heaven, signs, and lying wonders. They asked the Lord Jesus, "What will be the sign of your coming? And in the end of the world, what did he say? Take heed that what? No one deceives you. You're going to think something is something, and it's not what you think it is. It's something else." But hear me now. No one can deceive you if you know the Word of God. Stand here. Stand on the Word. Keep coming to this church, and you'll never be deceived. I hate to... You know, I'm going to be a blowhard, and I'm going to say that. You keep coming to this church and sitting under the Word of God here, and if you're alive at this time, you will not be deceived. I mean, that's a bold statement, but I make it. Share these things with your family. Talk about great discussions over a big plate of linguine. Man, this is it right here. Praise God. Goodness gracious, you people know more about the end times than all of the end times players. He's got a lot to say. 31% of the Bible is talking about the future. You guys are armed and loaded for bear. What great conversations this would be. Matter of fact, we'll have this on Friday night over pizza, where we can sit around informally and talk about these things. Talk about these things with your family. Here's all of verse 14. He deceives those. Now, my Bible translation, which is it's called the majority text. It's the majority of every Greek manuscript in existence. My Bible reads, and you'll see it in the footnote if you have a New King James. You'll see a capital M there, and it says this. He deceives my own people who dwell on the earth. He deceives my own people who dwell on the earth. Now, who pray tell he's talking about, whether or not he means fellow Jews or whether or not he's talking about Christians? I don't know. I guess you have to be there. But let's go with what's established in case you think my Bible is not accurate. He deceives those that dwell on the earth by the signs which were granted to him to do in the sight of the beast, telling those that dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Okay, we've looked at this a million times. Now today, let's call, instead of image, let's call this thing today, let's call it a replica. All right? Because an image is an exact representation of an original. Whether it's a John F. Kennedy on a 50-cent piece, Dwight Eisenhower on a dollar, or whose image and inscription is this, or the reflection of the sun on the water. So let's call it replica to help us understand as we move forward here. So I'm going to substitute replica for image. He deceives those that dwell on the earth by the signs which were granted to him to do in the sight of the beast, telling those that dwell on the earth to make a replica of the Antichrist, who was wounded by the sword and came to life. All right, so here's what's next here. This religious leader is going to have people make some kind of replica of the Antichrist. The Lord Jesus calls this replica the abomination of desolation. Matthew 24:15. Therefore, when you see the replica or the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. I'll add to that if you can. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on his housetop not go down to get anything out of his house. Let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. Woe! Now, no offense, Darlene, but woe to those who are pregnant. Now, Darlene's about 13 months pregnant. No offense again, Darlene. Boy, it's going to be an interesting week for you, isn't it? You got my number now, right? Woe to those who are pregnant. That's because they won't be able to run as fast. And those who are nursing babies in those days. Pray your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not has been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless if those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. That's Matthew 24:15. All right, next up. The religious leader has been granted the ability to give this replica life. Verse 15 out of the King James Version. And he had the power to give life. Everyone follow me? I'm in Revelation 13:15. I'm reading this out of the King James Version. The Greek word is pneuma. You can do with that as you will. Spirit, breath. The King James translators chose the word life. You know, pick whichever one of those you want. He had the power to give life to the replica
of the beast.
So that the replica of the beast should speak and cause as many as would not worship the replica to be killed. Imagine this religious leader bending down over this thing and breathing into his nostrils the breath of life. What utter blasphemy is that? And tell me again, the Apostle Paul. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of the silent partner with all powers, signs, and lying wonders. Verse 15. The mission of this replica. He, that's this image, he causes all, small, great, rich, poor, free, slave. All right, now wait a minute. Why did he include slavery? Didn't he know there's going to be no such thing as slavery at this last generation? Well, first of all, this was written to people 2,000 years ago, so it had to apply to them first. This letter was written to someone else. We can glean from it always, but every soul is included. And don't you think God knew that from the beginning? This is given this way so that every soul in every generation will continue to look up and wait and expect his return. So everyone is included. Maybe in 100 years from now, should the Lord tarry, maybe there'll be slavery again then. Did you ever stop and consider that? Heck of a thing to become an atheist over, if you ask me. Now, just because you don't understand the Word of God is not something to become an atheist over. Even the Apostle Paul thought this was going to happen in his lifetime. And guess what? He was wrong. No one knows when he's coming back. So slavery is in the Bible. Guess what? You're a slave anyway. I've said it a million times. You're a slave to someone in this world. You're either a slave of him, you're a slave of righteousness, or you're a slave of yourself. That would make you a slave of sin. Again, verses 16 and 17. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one can buy or sell except he that has the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Now, this church is an economic mark issued by the last one world government. It's not a religious mark. It's an economic mark. It's a mark to buy and sell. It's a mark to go to Publix or to go to Home Depot or to open up your pizzeria or open up your barber shop. It's a mark in order to buy or to sell. And no one will be able to buy it. No one will be able to sell anything unless they've received the government's mark issued by the replica of the Antichrist. The mark is somehow related to his name. His number is somehow related to his name. All right, last verse. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate. Now, one translation, I think it's the ESV, it's got the word solve there. S-O-L-V-E. Solve. Let him who has understanding solve the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man. His number is 666. Now, I don't know what that means, but this I know, I'm commanded to figure it out at the proper time. At the proper time comes, you'll be able to figure out what this means. Now, one last point this morning. How do I overcome if I am alive at this time, or if my children are alive then? Now, this young man right here, Anthony, I mean, his son's not even 3 years old. I certainly believe that he is part of the terminal generation. How is he going to make it? How are we going to make it? And I actually have the answer to that naturally from the Word of God. How do I survive at this time if I find myself alive here on the earth? How do I survive? The answer to that, flip back one chapter to chapter 12, verse 11. It's all given in one sentence. And they overcame him. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto the death. Danny, why don't you go get the Carol and the kids? They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and that they did not love their lives to the death. All right, three things. How do you overcome if you find yourself alive at this time? Number one is the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's not something that's going to be shed again. He's already done it. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So you've all been redeemed, and his blood has obliterated. His blood has put you in the right standing with God. That's all that you need, is to be and get in the right standing with God. That's how you overcome the devil, is to have your name written in God's book of life. And you'll be like David, who said, what can man do to me? Psalm 56, remember it, verse 9? When I call out to you, then my enemies will scatter. This I know, because God is for me. You overcome Satan by the blood of Jesus Christ. Number two, you overcome him by the word of your testimony. That is, I mean, a testimony is right out of a courtroom, right? Your left hand's down, your right hand is up. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, right? Right, Alex? I believe Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's my Lord. You see, his name, Jesus' name, on your lips is how you overcome the enemy. The blood already shed for you, the blood gets you in right standing with God. Calling on the name of Jesus Christ is the second thing. His name on your lips, no matter what the cost is. And number three, I choose Jesus. Now, Carol, I'm going to have you go back and run those lyrics for me back there. Danny's going to start that song here in a second. I choose Christ regardless of the cost. Let's pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Thank you.